Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening, Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our affiliates across the country. Busy hour coming up. Nigel Seeley in about 15. Best bets in the Prim this week, plus a preview of the Women's Open finale at the Aussie Open. Tony Rizzo in studio, bottom of the hour from ESPN Cleveland, the Cavaliers and the Browns situation going into next year. Right now we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. VSiN host Mike Somich joins the program, and he's also the co-host of a podcast that drops twice a week called Sharp Money with Patrick Maher. Hey, Mike, good afternoon, pal. How are you today?
Doing good. Doing good. Nice to have the week off from football here. I guess we do have the Pro Bowl, but I don't think I'm going to bet the flag football game this week. And then we head out to the Super Bowl. Looking forward to this matchup. Got a pretty big opinion on it. So looking forward to this one kicking off.
You really do. Yeah. So you're expecting a Seahawks bloodbath, huh?
I am. It's interesting to just look. The Patriots, you got to give them all the credit for getting here. And you can only play who's in front of you. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to take anything away from them. At the same time, this is going to be the first time this New England team has faced a well-rounded football team in the playoffs. You faced the Chargers with a good defense, the Texans with a good defense. You faced the Broncos with a good defense. All of those offenses were limited for one reason or another, be it the offensive line, the quarterback, or what was the weather that was going on. Now you're taking on a Seattle team who has, I'm going to say, the second-best defense of that bunch that we already talked about. I think Houston's was better, but I would put the Seattle team in second. But you have an offense that is not hampered in any way, shape, or form. They've got a good running back. They've got a good offensive line. You've got Darnold, who has played well throughout the playoffs, including phenomenal in that Rams game. You've got a clear number one wide receiver. You've got a deep threat in Shaheed. You've got great special teams. I just don't see where the advantage is for the Patriots. The one positive you could say is they should be able to slow down the run game for Seattle. It's a Patriots team that has been very good stopping the run when healthy. Well, they are healthy for this one on the defensive line. So I do think it's a tough day for Kenneth Walker. We've seen his prop drop from 79.5 down to 75.5. I agree with that move, but we haven't seen Darnold's prop adjust accordingly in my mind, because if we are stopping Walker, that means Darnold is going to do more in this game with his arm. I like the Sam Darnold over 229.5 number. And I love the Seahawks in this spot. I was live on Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on Sunday, recording right after those games went final. The 3.5 number popped up. I bet Seattle immediately at the -3.5 number. And I'm now shopping for alts. I want to find a way to try and capitalize on the opinion that Seattle is just a significantly better team than this Patriots side. I like Seattle -7.5. I played them -14.5 +350. I think there's a long tail toward a Seattle blowout here, because if you do see the Seahawks get a lead, all of a sudden, you've got Drake May having to face a Mike McDonald defense, which is going to be specifically schemed for him in that offense over the 2 weeks. It's one of the things McDonald has done exceptionally well throughout the season, is change up his defensive game plan week in and week out. Now he's got 2 weeks to prepare. I think that makes it harder for Drake May to be able to use his legs effectively. I think this front four is consistently going to get pressure against an offensive line that we have seen really struggle for the Patriots over this entire playoff run. And when you add all that together with a Seattle lead, I think you have turnovers that are possible, short fields that are possible for Seattle. I think it's going to make the New England life very, very difficult on the offensive side. I think that gives Seattle the opportunity to win this game by significant margin. That's why I want to play them up as high as -14.5 here and try and capture some big plus money on the Seahawks.
All right. Darnold overpassing as well. Are you going to be on Darnold MVP?
I haven't decided yet. It feels like that's the logical place to go here, right? I mean, if you do think Kenneth Walker is going to get slowed down by this run defense, which I do think happens, and then you look on the other side and you say, okay, Darnold's going to have to throw the football. You have JSN, who is likely to get 33 to 50% of the yards that Darnold throws for. The problem is, if Darnold throws for two or three touchdowns, JSN probably needs two touchdowns to be able to win the award. Mm-hmm. And it really forces it to be one of those two guys to be able to jump up and win the MVP. I think Darnold is by far the most likely. I've not bet the MVP market yet. If I bet anybody right now, it would be Darnold. But with his current price, I'm not running to the window to try and get a bet in.
All right, very good. The big news, Giannis being shopped. NBA trade deadline 6 days away. We were surprised that they were favored against Washington and lost by double digits yesterday. How about a future that you like involving the Bucks? Take it away.
Yeah, this is one of those situations. Anytime you have these big names who are going to be on the move, in my mind, the place that most people go to is say, okay, well, who is he going to be traded to, and how can I get ahead of those odds moves, right? Do I go and do I play Golden State Warriors to win the West or win the NBA? Do I go and play the Knicks to win the East or win the title? I understand why you're trying to go for that, and you're taking a shot, assuming that he is going to get traded and that he goes to the right team. And if you are right, you get a significantly better number than the market. I would rather look at this a different way and just focus on the Bucks specifically here. Right now, we've got Giannis out for another 3 to 5 weeks with a calf injury. Right now, they are sitting at 18 and 28 on the season. So they have 36 games left. If this is a situation where you see Giannis not get traded but miss those 3 to 5 weeks with a calf injury, I'd be surprised if he comes back and plays this year for the Bucks. And the reasoning behind that is pretty simple. If they don't move on from him at the trade deadline, they're going to move on from him in the summer. And if they do that, the last thing they want is an Achilles injury. And we've seen calf injuries translate into Achilles injuries in the NBA the last year multiple times. So the last thing you want is him out for a long-term injury. It completely devalues your asset. The other piece of this is the Bucks have the worst pick of themselves and the Pelicans. They are going to be in the tanking business once we get through this trade deadline. And with that 18 and 26 record, they need to win 13 more games out of their final 36. That represents a 36.1 win percentage. They are currently 3-13 without Giannis in the lineup when they are trying to win basketball games. When they are now going to try and lose basketball games and Giannis isn't in the lineup, I don't see how in the world they end up winning 36% of the remaining games on their schedule. Right now, you can get under 30.5 wins. That's sitting at minus 102 at FanDuel. You can shop around. There are other under 30.5 wins available as well. I just don't understand how this team is going to be able to win 36% of their remaining games, even if Giannis stays. I do think there's a likelihood he gets traded, but if he stays, I think we're still in a good position here because this is a Bucks team that has to turn to tanking and figure out how to kind of revamp this organization once they get through this season.
I would also say this too, like if he does stay and they don't have the right deal done by next Thursday, everything you said is accurate. Plus the added bonus is the 2026 NBA draft is absolutely loaded and they need to lose as many games as possible to guarantee themselves, well, the best chance possible to be like in the top five. They don't want to take any chances of running him back whatsoever. And you were talking about a possible injury, like an additional injury to the calf or beyond that. They have everything in their fiber is telling them this dude cannot play another game in our jersey, in our uniform.
Exactly. I mean, this is a franchise that is now motivated to move on from Giannis and to lose basketball games. And like I said, it's the worst pick of New Orleans and themselves. New Orleans may be the number one pick, which means you end up getting your own pick in that case. If that's the situation, you've got to find a way to lose some basketball games because right now you've got five teams with 12 losses or 12 wins. You're sitting there with 18 wins. You're six games behind being in that number one pick. And the most important spot in that lottery is to be 1 through 4. Because then you're guaranteed you're not going to get jumped by too many teams in this situation. To me, this is a spot where if you're the Bucks, you've got to lose as many basketball games as possible. And I think you're starting to come to that realization. And the fact that, again, you have Giannis who's going to be out another 3 to 5 weeks. If this Bucks team is significantly out of the play-in when he is supposed to come back, it makes no sense at all from an organizational perspective to put him back on the floor. And again, they have a 0.391 win percentage throughout the entire season. They need to go 0.361 for the rest of the season to get to 31 wins. I just don't see how in the world we're going to, the Bucks organization is going to be able to do that, especially if you're going to not have Giannis out there for the remainder of the season.
Great numbers. Great analysis there. Mike Somich, our guest. You're also a co-host of VSiN at the Track podcast. You can get, again, wherever you get your podcast, horse racing expert here at VSiN. This is an important weekend for Kentucky Derby futures. Is that correct?
It's an interesting weekend for Kentucky Derby futures here, and that's for a couple reasons. First off, yesterday, the big news around the horse racing world, Ted Naafe, who was your leading, your favorite, the only horse that was under 10-1 in the Kentucky Derby trail, the winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year, he is out with an injury. He is not going to run at the Kentucky Derby, 60 to 90 days on the sideline. He's going to try and to point toward the fall at Saratoga. Well, that means we've had a massive shift in the odds market inside the Kentucky Derby. You saw, like, we have a horse that's 9-1 right now in Cantalonian who has run one race. This is a wide open Kentucky Derby year. The best crop is down in Florida, and we have the Holy Bull this weekend. It's the 13th race on the card from Gulfstream Park on Saturday. I'm sorry, 12th race on the card from Gulfstream Park on Saturday. Why this is important? You have future books that are offering this right now. Caesars has their Kentucky Derby market up, lists hundreds of horses. Well, three of the contenders in that race are all in the top 10 or 15 inside this betting market. And what we see, a lot of numbers move quickly. Horse racing's not one of them. Even when we found out Ted Noffey was going to be scratched, he was still listed as the favorite inside the odds market for about an hour and a half. If you watch the 12th at Gulfstream and you're impressed by a horse, that number is going to drop precipitously in the coming 2 hours. I think it's a good opportunity where if you're paying attention to that future market, you can go in, you can get a better price. The three main contenders in that race are Incredibolt, Cannoneer, and Nearly. Right now, Nearly, who is going to be your morning line favorites, 28-1 on the board. If he goes out and wins that race, 28-1 is going to turn into about 10-1 in a two-hour period. So it's an opportunity to watch that race, pay attention to what happens, and possibly get a much better number on whoever wins that race so that you can kind of get ahead of that Kentucky Derby market.
That is dynamite information there. Okay, and that's coming up in the next couple of hours, you said.
That's coming up on Saturday. So we got one more day. Yep. That's post time at 5:45 Eastern, 2:45 Pacific, the 12th race at Gulfstream. So as soon as you check that out, you can jump right on and say, okay, I want to take Cannoneer. I want to take Incredibolt. I want to take Nearly. Any one of those three horses win, they're going to become either the favorite or the second choice in the futures market. All of them right now at double digit odds.
Great stuff, Mike. Follow him on X, @SalmoBaum18 as well. Thanks, Mike. Enjoy the weekend.
You got it, guys. Good luck.
There you go. He was on the Progressive Guest Line. Up next, you're going to hear from Nigel Seeley. He has bets galore in the Premier League this week and the Women's Open at the Aussie. What he thinks of it coming up next year on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. Tony Rizzo, ESPN legend in studio, coming up in 15 minutes. We just had on Mike Somich. If you missed any of it, you can always go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast. He is a VSiN host. He's got a couple of podcasts here as well. So he was making the case for Seahawks in a romp. Alts, 7.5, 14.5. Donald, they have a big game passing. We feel like if this game does turn into a blowout, it's Seattle running away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a path for the Patriots to blow out the Seahawks?
No.
Neither do I.
Unless our guy implodes.
Oh, boy.
That's it. Wait, led the league in turnovers. There it is. Sam would have to have a game like he did in Detroit and then against the Rams in the back-to-back games last year to close out the year. Or like he did in the first time against the Rams.
How about this? Either team gets out to a 10-0 lead. Which team panics as the dog or as the trailing team in that spot?
No panic. Two great coaches. No panic.
There's no panic?
No panic. Stay the course. 1,000 points alight.
What if that is those 10 points come courtesy of two Sam Darnold INTs?
Yep.
Ghost?
Are you worried about Kubiak doing all these interviews? Is that a problem? I think it's okay.
I don't think so, yeah.
We're just trying to cover every angle here. But if a guy who throws four picks in one game, like he did against the Rams and led the league in turnovers, maybe Vrabel's got a great plan, a Belichick-type scheme, and something could happen.
Well, that tells you how good the team is, by the way. Did that against the Rams, still had a chance to win the game.
That's right. Did a great job. Defense was phenomenal in that game. All right, our good friend Nigel Seeley. Tennis and soccer. He'll have an opinion on the women's final in the Aussie Open. But we start with the Premier League and the Wolves, Wolverhampton against Bournemouth. Take it away, Nigel. Good to see you.
It's Nigel Seeley here, back with my best bets for the weekend Premier League card, as well as the women's singles final at the Australian Open. And my first bet is on the match at 10 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday At the bottom of the table between Wolves and Bournemouth. Wolves are bottom of the table, but there's signs of improvement at Molineux. They're scoring a few goals. They're being hard to beat. They got beat by Manchester City last time out 2-0, but they put up a good display. They're creating chances and they're stopping goals. Bournemouth come here with a terrible, terrible road record. They've only won one match in their 12 this season. That was on right at the start of the season. So 11 matches on the road without a win. And Wolves need the points. I was quite tempted by Wolves on the money line at +220. Bournemouth without their best players, Semenyo obviously sold to Manchester City. But I think Wolves are going to get something here. I quite like Wolves on the Asian handicap, +0.25 at around about even money. I think that's a decent bet because if it's a draw, we will win. So as long as Bournemouth don't win this match, we will be collecting. So I'm getting with Wolves at the 10 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday. Move on to Sunday. And again, a little bit early here. This is 9 o'clock Eastern time. It's the match between Aston Villa and Brentford. Aston Villa let me down last time they played at home. They got beaten at home by Everton in a really bad performance. But prior to that, they were unbeaten at home in 11 matches. And they won last night in the Europa League, emphatically 3-2. They were 2-0 down and come back with a scintillating comeback. They did come at a cost. They lost their striker, Ollie Watkins, who's a doubt for this match against Brentford, his former team. And they are missing a couple of midfield players as well. But I think they've got enough about them to beat a Brentford side who were really poor against Nottingham Forest in their last match, losing 2-0 at home. And they're equally poor in a London derby against Chelsea. I've got a feeling Brentford might be on a downward spiral here. And with Aston Villa's fantastic form and chasing for the title, the top of the Premier League title, and a top four finish, I think odds of +106 are far too big for Aston Villa. So Aston Villa for me, 9 o'clock a.m. on Saturday, Sunday Eastern time. Another match at 9 a.m. Eastern time has caught my attention, and it's Nottingham Forest at home to Crystal Palace. Nottingham Forest also were in Europa League action last night. They had another win and eased through to the playoff stages, and they're up against the Crystal Palace side who are in absolute turmoil. Crystal Palace haven't won in their last 12 matches. Their manager's leaving at the end of the season. Mark Gahey, their captain and best player, has moved to Manchester City. Their main striker, Mateta, is linked with a move to Manchester United, and their best midfielder, Adam Wharton, is suspended for this match. They're a team in absolute turmoil. They have strengthened the team with the signing of Brennan Johnson for $30 million from Tottenham, but I don't think he's going to change much. And they are in talks with Strand Larsen from Wolves to come for £50 million, but I don't think he'll be here in time for this match. I think it's another defeat for Crystal Palace, who are sliding ominously towards the bottom of the Premier League table. And at odds of minus 108, I like Nottingham Forest as well. Move across to Australia, the other side of the world, for the tennis this evening. It's the women's singles final at the Australian Open. It's the match between the top two players in the world and the top two players who have been in great form in this tournament. Both Aryna Sabalenka and Elena Rybakina have got to this final without dropping a set. That's the first time since 2006 when the Williams sisters got to the final of a major without dropping a set. So it's the first time it's happened in 20 years. These two players are at the peak of their game. They've been exceptional at this tournament, and I think this could be a classic. The opening line saw Rybakina come in at +180. That was very heavy betting to +170, and now she's +148 with Sabalenka -177. I do think if you can get anything bigger than +150, Rybakina could be worth taking it to cause a shock against Sabalenka, who is playing in her fourth consecutive Australian Open. So look out for that price on Rybakina. But the best bet for me is over 22.5 games. It's -113. You might be able to get a bit of -105, but I think that's the bet. I think this will go a long way. I expect it to go to a final set, three sets for sure. If you look at their record between these two players, they played 14 times and seven of the matches have gone into a final set. So it works out about an even money shot. And if you look at the average total games they played in their head-to-head battle, it comes in at 24.5. So we've got a two-game edge with that 22.5. I also think this will be, like I say, I think this is going to be very, very close. And if you look at the two times they've met in a major, they met in the Australian Open final, Sabalenka won that, and they also won at played at Wimbledon, and Sabalenka won that. But in both of those games, it went to a final set, and the total games finished at 29 and 28. To get 22.5 in a final is a little bit attractive for me. So over 22.5 games in what I expect to be a classic women's final, and that should start around about 3:30 a.m. on tomorrow morning, Saturday morning. So over 22.5 games. I do like Rybakina at +148. And in the Premier League, I'm going for Wolves to cause a bit of a shock against Bournemouth. I like them on the money line, but my best bet would be on a +0.25 goal. Aston Villa at plus money, too big against Brentford despite injuries. And Nottingham Forest Forest to add to the woes of Crystal Palace at minus 106. Good luck with your bets. Take care.
There you go, Nigel. Great job. Alcaraz minus 320, by the way, at DraftKings over Joker in the men's final. And I can't wait to talk to him. What a summer it's going to be with the World Cup. 5 weeks of madness. Him and Meat Man, and we're hosting Mexico, Canada. Going to be bedlam.
Lots of vacation.
No. 48 nations. Come on. Let's go. It'll be phenomenal.
Actually, the last World Cup was fun because we were live doing mornings, actually.
Yeah.
Other side of the world. Right.
Remember Nigel called it, he called the nil-nil in one of them? And he wrote the article in the New York Post, and they called him Nick Seeley?
That's right. That's right.
Nick Seeley signing off. Nil-nil detectors out. It was great.
Do you, are you finding yourself to be a fan of tennis like you were as a younger man?
No.
I thought you were getting there.
Is that
only the summertime when there's nothing else going on? That,
yeah. It's just,
you're a fair weather tennis guy. Yeah?
The personality isn't there. The Agassiz. Sampras was a drip.
Oh boy.
Agassi was awesome. You know, McEnroe was a nut. I loved Connors, the fist bump, and he had a personality. He was eccentric. Also, when the women in the heyday, there were so many that were great players in the run you had. Martina, Graf, Sabatini, Everett, Salas.
How about Serena?
Yeah.
That qualify?
She had a personality, right? A lot of people like to root against this Williams sisters. I mean, we had a hell of a run there, but we've just been a bit of a drought, even though these guys, I think Federer was a bit of a drip too, but you can still appreciate the dominance and the career that he had too.
Yeah, I don't bet much tennis, but just as a sports fan and to appreciate what these athletes are going through for 5+ hours, it's another level, man. I don't think a casual fan of tennis has any idea how grueling that is to go out there and play like that. They think, oh, I could go out there and do it. No, you couldn't.
I think back in the day, there was a lot of people that you liked to root against, too. Yvonne Lender.
Villains.
Female and male.
Did you like Boris Becker? Was he a good one for you?
I like Becker, yes.
I will say that when they get into these matches, though, it's phenomenal television. The back and forth, the swings that you can have. I mean, the live betting odds will change in a heartbeat. The way some of this stuff is trending. It's a fun sport. Mano a mano like that. It's a really fun sport to play as well. I've not played it in a long time, but my wife was a good tennis player when she was younger. So she got me to go out there and play against her a bunch. And she would kill me immediately. But it made me better.
How's your second serve?
Not bad, actually. At the time, I haven't played tennis.
It's always the key. Yeah, you can always judge a good tennis player by what the second serve looks like.
But we played long enough to where I could beat her.
Uh-huh.
And so it just, I tell you this, if you ever want to take up tennis, you can get better, like noticeably better within a week. No doubt, if you actually give it a shot. Tony Rizzo in studio coming up next. Legend, ESPN Cleveland. He'll take us through the Browns' process of hiring Todd Monken as their new head coach and what he expects to happen in the Super Bowl. Get his thoughts next here on VSiN.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you on board here on a Friday live in Vegas. Circa Resort Casino is your spot. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard. This is going to be a very fun 30-minute stretch here as the legend himself, Tony Rizzo, ESPN Cleveland, joins us now in studio, and so much to get into with him. It's good to see you, my man. How are you today?
Guys, let me say this and prop this property for Derek and everybody that works here. There's a lot of new places in Las Vegas that don't feel like Las Vegas, okay? I first came out here in 1982 for spring break. That's a true story. There was nothing here but the sands and the dunes and the frontier, and I played it all. I played $5 blackjack at all those places. This place really does a nice job of giving you the Vegas feel with a first-class experience. I love this place.
Yeah,
I really do.
Well said. So you just basically decided enough of the minus 10, I have to go somewhere warm?
Yeah, so on Monday, my wife's birthday was last weekend, and we really didn't do anything because there was a snowstorm. It was 5 degrees. I said, honey, let's go. Let's go. And she's like, let's go. I left her at the pool, by the way. So she's sunning right now, and I'm glad to be out here, guys. I don't want to rub it in to my crew back at home, but it is beautiful out here.
Okay, so Is it official yet with Monken, or do they still have time to change their mind on this?
Guys, can I say this, Mitch? You're not going to believe this. You're not, because the process of the Browns hiring a coach was, guys, when Andrew Berry stayed and Kevin Stefanski got fired, that said to me that Jimmy Haslam was going to make this hire. Andrew Berry didn't. Andrew Berry's guy was Shielhouse. Okay? And for a seven-hour interview and a plane flight to L.A., he tried to convince Jimmy Haslam. Jimmy Haslam's like, 35-year-old kid, passing game coordinator, doesn't know anybody. Give Todd Monken a chance. That's all I'm going to say. I was as shocked as anybody. I did text you, but I was as shocked as anybody. Give Todd a chance. From everybody I talked to in Baltimore, his offense has worked everywhere. And the Browns set out to fix their offense this year. Now, the whole Schwartz thing and how that all went down, you know, I like Jimmy a lot, but if he's not going to stick around, the Browns' job was to fix the offense. There's already stories about, you know, Shador, whether he likes Shador or not. And the quarterback thing is still up in the air. Don't count out Watson. Is there a market for that?
We'll find one.
Is there a market?
To start week one. Is it going to happen?
Oh, I would put pizza money on it. I'll tell you right now. Shador came in. They said, you know, we wanted to draft you. Great video, guys. You got a great crew here, by the way. But this whole thing came down to Jimmy Haslam's decision, and he went with a guy who he trusts. I know he's old. I'm old. I'm actually older than Todd Monken, but give him a chance, Mitch. Give him a chance.
Well, you wanted to get rid of Stefanski, and you wanted to clean
house.
Well,
the offense, first of all, coach is great. You know, I'm going to have me on in Atlanta. They asked me to come on Monday. I have nothing bad to say about Kevin Stefanski. He's a class act and everything. His offense was terrible. He lost his way, and the locker room didn't trust him anymore. Denzel Ward said something, guys, after the season. He said, we just need somebody to keep people accountable on offense. And I don't think Kevin was doing that. Browns had the worst special teams in the world. He wouldn't fire Bubba Ventron. So he's very loyal to his coaches to a fault.
Okay.
And I think that Monken is a guy that'll hold people accountable. I do. And he got glowing reviews from Harbaugh and others who he's worked for, Kirby Smart. Give him a chance. Guys, I think hiring a coach could be harder than finding a quarterback in the National Football League.
Yeah. So you run it back with Watson and Sanders?
I'm telling you, Watson's in play. He's got a clear head. Okay, he had so much going on when he left.
You see anything?
In Houston.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he can return to form. He led the league in passing 1 year. I doubt that's going to happen again.
No.
But let's see. There's going to be competition, and I think it'll be between Sanders and Watson. And if Watson is healthy, coming off two surgeries, if he's healthy, I'd give him a chance.
Okay, so I'm looking right now. Kelsey has it up. Cleveland Browns week one starter next year.
Yep.
Shador Sanders is 53%. Deshaun Watson is 28%. Basically, $100 in Watson would get you back more than $250.
Okay. Don't forget, though, the Browns want to see Shador. Okay? And the veteran backup is already under contract. So they have nothing to lose with Watson. But if they're really going to have a competition, and I believe Coach Monken is going to be fair about this and not just pick the young guy because they want to see him, I think Watson has a real shot to beat out Shador. And I love Shador. I loved him coming out of college. It was me and Mel Kiper against the world. I loved him. I still love him. They ruined him. They couldn't. Oh, what a year for that kid. Like, you went to an organization who didn't believe in you. That's another reason why Stefanski's gone.
Were the fans mad when they won the last couple games and blew the draft pick?
No. Paulie, we can't get draft. I should say that. Browns had a good draft last year.
Yeah.
We can't worry about one, two. I think Mendoza's the only Sherlock in this whole draft. And the kid from Oregon's going back to school. So
okay. So you mentioned it earlier. Where are we at with Schwartz?
Any chance
he comes back?
I don't think so. Oh, I think no. Jim is. I think Jim's going to draw a line in the sand. I think he saw his last chance to be a head coach, and it got taken away from him. So we'll see. There's a lot of good jobs out there, guys. San Francisco, Buffalo.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you think of McCarthy to the Steelers?
Good luck, Big Mike. I like Mike. Yeah. I like Mike McCarthy. He's a great guy. I heard a story. I guess when he went to interview for the Titans, somebody in Tennessee goes, he just told stories for like 3 hours to everybody. He's a great guy. He's a Pittsburgh native. Now, we're arch rivals, Browns fan with the Steelers, but we'll see how that goes. What do you guys? I already heard. I listen to you guys every day. I know what you think about Mike McCarthy.
I can't believe it.
Give Monken a chance, Mitch. Give him a chance.
Do I have to?
No, you don't.
I don't?
No, you don't.
What is the team missing overall?
You got to find your quarterback.
Yeah. Quarterback for sure. Other than quarterback, what else do they need?
On offense, they need a wide receiver really bad, and they need about four offensive linemen.
I was gonna say
other than that, we're all set.
Four.
Yeah. So I would guess if you're going to bet first pick at number six, a tackle wide receiver would be the only two choices.
If Tate
is there from Ohio State, I think he's the choice. But I don't know. Fano, is he a right tackle? Is he a guard? The Browns need a left tackle. They can't count on Duane Jones, who's been injured the last three seasons.
All right, Mitch was asking earlier. So I think you have a strong opinion here. You like the dog. Why do you like the Patriots?
Oh, I like the Patriots. Well, first of all, Mike Vrabel went to Walsh Jesuit High School, and I covered him in high school.
All right.
Okay, how about that story?
That's incredible.
Because I was a sports anchor in town.
Yeah?
I think they have a shot. I think, number one, Drake May has not played well because of the weather. I think if you get a fast track in Palo Alto, he'll force the ball down the field. That'll be a different-looking offense than you've seen. But I think more than anything, I think their defense is underrated. I do. He challenged them when they played the Texans. He said, you guys have heard all about the Texans' defense and how great they are. They came out and played like their hair was on fire, and they did it again the next week. I expect them to play that way. I guess there's a I heard Sal Pell talk about the linebackers coach. They have good coaches on that side of the ball. Yeah.
So you're thinking, forget the points, taking money line? What are you going to do here?
I might. I mean, I think it'll be a close game. Seattle's very good. Here's the question. Sam Darnold has not gone Sam Darnold. I shouldn't say that. The kid's played phenomenal last year. By the way, the GM got fired in Minnesota, right?
I know. Yes.
Yeah, well, because you went with, okay.
Good call.
If Sam Darnold's got to play a good game. Okay, so we'll see if that happens.
Okay, what do you have on Belichick?
All right, let me say this. First of all, I love Bill. I was at his first press conference, Mitch, in 1990 when Art Modell introduced him to Cleveland. Okay, I go that far back.
Why did he get rid of him?
Who?
Why did Modell get rid of Belichick? He went to the playoffs.
How about this? He fired him on the phone.
Yeah?
Art Modell fired Bill Belichick and Paul Brown. That's why he's not in the Hall of Fame. He went with Ted Marchabrota because he thought he would be a draw to the Baltimore people. Silly story. Long story short.
Wow.
Everybody, how do we find out about the Belichick news? How do we know that he didn't get, the Hall doesn't release any. They have to call the person that doesn't make the ballot. So Belichick news. So somebody on that end let everybody know. It was ridiculous. I work with Tony Grossi, who's covered the Browns for 40 years. He did vote for Bill Belichick. He has one of the 50 votes. But he said, and he said it on my air, so I could say to you guys, there was a 45-minute discussion about Bill Belichick getting in the Hall of Fame.
You're kidding.
I wish I was.
And it was people saying this is the reason why you should not be in.
Deflategate, Spygate. You know, they went through the fact that he might come back. This is, guys, this is how this process works.
Did anybody put their foot down and say, guys, stop.
That
enough.
I don't know. That I don't know. All there was they present both sides of everything. You know, Tony was the guy who presented against Art Modell for the city of Cleveland, said, this guy moved the favorite team in the city. You can't put him in the Hall of Fame. He's been there and done this a long time. That's the process. What needs to change is the process. It needs to change. So there were people that were voting for one guy because they thought Belichick would eventually get in. But the fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame is silly. I agree with Sal. I wouldn't put it all on the Hall of Fame. I wouldn't. There are a lot of good people there close to us in Canton. But the voting process, I think, might change in the future.
I could see that happening for sure. Hell, they already said if anybody went rogue, they're probably going to get their vote stripped. They came out and made that release a couple of days ago already.
We'll see. And the ballots are, you don't have to say who you are.
It can't be anonymous.
Yeah.
They can lead to that nonsense.
Yeah. All right, more with ESPN Cleveland legend Tony Rizzo coming up next. Is there a disconnect with Atkinson or the Cavaliers finally breaking out of it?
I got a little news for you guys there.
Good. Can't wait to hear it next here on VSiN. We continue now, Tony Rizzo, ESPN Cleveland. I'm supposed to ask you, what's up with Babushka Lady?
We have a lady that walks by. We're on the boardwalk. We have beautiful studios like you guys. Uh-huh. Beautiful studios. There's a lady that walks by every morning. I assume she's going to work. She's got a bag, a long coat, and boots. She wears a babushka. So now that people are taking bets over under 805 every month. We like to bet in Cleveland. No, we like to bet. Yeah, in Cleveland.
Well, remember when we met you at the Super Bowl? Right. You guys were you have high school football
lines? I don't know anything about that. I don't know what you're talking about.
It was Goldhammer. Like, why are the ratings so high on Friday nights? Because you give it, everyone's betting
the
high
scores.
School.
We do a red zone. On Friday night for high school, it's one of the most popular things.
Yeah. What would you tell about Youngstown and Steubensville?
Well, there's a lot of big gamblers there. A lot of people. I'm sure a lot of people out here know people from Steubensville and Youngstown.
That's right.
Yeah. When was the, without saying too much here, when was the first time that you found out that like betting on high school games might have actually been a thing? How long ago?
I think I was in high school. I think I was playing, man. I played D1, Cleveland, Region 1 D1. So, yeah.
Okay.
Had a ball. I know I'm sitting next to one of the greatest goalies of all time from Minnesota.
Yeah, right, for about a year. Yeah, that's phenomenal. That's great. You got a Wayne Newton story?
All right, quickly. Wayne's wife, her sister, worked at Channel 8, Fox 8 in Cleveland. I was the sports anchor there. We did a lot of work together, won a lot of awards. Great girl. She passed away. God rest her soul. So, you know, she's like, my sister's married to Wayne Newton. We're like, okay, so we go to Vegas. Well, he's at the Stardust. Yeah. I'm like 38 years old. They go, do you want to go to Wayne Newton? What am I going to say? No. Disrespect Wayne Newton? I don't want to go to see Wayne Newton. They put us, I could put my foot
on the stage.
On the stage. Uh-huh. So there's me and seven of my buddies and all these ladies for Wayne Newton. And he was so great, and he was such a class act. About halfway through the show, he stops. He looks, stops the orchestra. He looks down at us. He goes, you guys lose a bet? In other words, what the hell are you doing at my show in the front row? We went back and met him. He could not have been nicer. He had that ranch with the horses and all that. Yeah. Class act, Wayne Newton.
You'll be driving down the street here in Las Vegas and say, what is that? How come that place? And that's where Wayne Newton lived.
Yeah.
Okay, is it time to bet the Cavaliers to win the East?
No, I heard Dustin Swedelson making the argument overnight. It's 6-1. I would put some money on that. The Cavs, I think, I know they're in talks with the Lakers. It's been reported in Cleveland about DeAndre Hunter, about a deal for DeAndre Hunter. Sending Hunter to the Lakers, I guess the Cavs would get like Hachimura or something. Mm. Hachimura's contract's up. The Cavs need to get out of the second apron. Mm-hmm. Guys, the thing is, what's puzzling to us is, right now the Cavs, without Mobley and without Garland, are playing better than they've played really all season long. Donovan Mitchell is a god. I can't believe he's not starting the All-Star game. That's a joke. He's one of the best players we've ever seen. Second best player to LeBron ever. But the Cavs have not played their best this year, Mitch. So I guess, you know, if you wanted to take a flyer on that, that's the way.
Look at the top, the teams ahead of them. And I think the Eastern Conference will be a lot of fun because these teams are pretty close.
Yeah.
But they can't beat the Knicks, Celtics, Pistons.
Yeah, they can.
Of course they can.
Yeah, they can. Let's see what happens with Giannis now. Don't forget Jimmy Haslam, owner of the Browns, one of the governors for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
And he was the governor in charge last year. They're going to get something for him. I don't know how well they're going to do, but he's going to go somewhere, and he's a chip. Whether he plays this year or not is the question.
Wait, hold on. You think he goes somewhere by next Thursday?
Let's just see. They've had a lot of offers is what I heard. Milwaukee's gotten a lot of offers. Yep.
Yeah. Well, this is the other fascinating part of this is you have to do right by the player angle.
Yeah.
Like this new NBA, because what he did for the organization.
Well, he's got a new home, Paulie.
Yeah,
he's trying to find a new home. who says that? Who says that?
That's going to be copied in the future from every other player.
I need to find a new home.
I know. Yeah. He doesn't want to say it.
I don't want you guys to find a new home, because I love where you're at. I listen every day.
Well, okay, so you had this earlier, though. So what was the problem early in the season? They've already had more losses than did all of last year. Atkinson was so good. You said there was a disconnect. There was something going on.
Yeah.
Have they straightened that out? What was the problem? Because, I mean, it's also hard for you to come on there and sell it to the fan base.
Yeah.
Well, the luck factor and the shots aren't falling and some of the analytics. But
they're still finding their way. their big thing was the last 2 years they got knocked out in the second round. They're a better team than that.
Yeah.
So they went to the, okay, this regular season, we don't care if we're the number one seed. Remember last year they couldn't lose? Mm-hmm. They were a number one seed. They wound up right where they were the year before, out of the playoffs in the second round. So I think that kind of crept into their head a little bit, that they don't care about the regular season. They certainly look like they're playing with it. I think Atkinson is, what did Paul Newman say in Slapshot when the Hansons go, hey, you know, we're ready to play, coach. He goes, yeah, I'm working through some things right now. I think Kenny's working through some lineups and some role playing, and I think they'll get it down. I'm bullish on the Cavs at the end of the year if they're healthy. We'll see.
Top five sports movie. Hell of a reference. They're putting the foil on. Great job with Slapshot.
They brought their friggin' toys.
Their toys. I know.
But by the way, there is a market up again. LeBron James' next team.
Yeah.
A lot of talk about Cleveland.
Yeah. What does it say?
The no is favored at about 80% the way it looks.
Yeah.
He's not going to be in Cleveland next year.
I don't know. First of all, we need to figure out if LeBron's going to play again next year.
Oh, he's got him.
He's got him. Okay. The second of all, where is the fit? Do the Cavs want to do that? Guys, let me tell you this.
Well, you know him. Will he take a pay cut? They're going to ask him to take a pay cut.
Paul, he's a billionaire.
Well, I know, but...
Would he take a... Yeah, he'll take a pay cut to be happy to play where he wants. The thing with LeBron is, and again, this is probably going to be his last year. Where does he feel most comfortable, or where does he feel like he has the best chance to win? You know, LeBron has won a title with three different teams. Uh-huh. That's pretty impressive. Uh-huh. Cleveland, Miami, and the Lakers. So let's see if he does it. I know that the video thing got him all choked up. You know, he's still a kid from Akron, man. At the end of the day, he really is. And I know he's all up in L.A., and he's got a production company, but we still love him. I respect him very much. I'd like to see him come back to the Cavs, but I think it's a long shot.
Well, okay, so he is going to play at least one more year, though. There's no way LeBron James calls it quits without a retirement tour.
Well, he puts in a lot of work. LeBron works out three times a day, man, at his age, to keep up with what he's doing. At some point, I'm not saying he's going to get old and fat and have a gut. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you got to ask yourself, you're going to put that work in all season long. And this year, he's taking a lot of time off. You know, he can't play 82 games anymore.
Yeah, there was that story that came out early in his career. Didn't he spend like six figures on his body every single year?
Oh, yeah, to keep himself. Oh, yeah, he did. But he knew it would pay off for him.
Sure.
And guys, the longevity.
Same thing as Brady.
People don't appreciate the longevity. You know, that's something to be appreciated. Brady. LeBron, to do it for that long, you know, that's harder than – there's a lot more work that goes into that than people know.
Paulie said the other day, you can make an argument second best player of all time. What do you think about that?
LeBron?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't care where you put him. Jordan would be first?
Yes.
Yeah. I could agree with that, but I'll just say, man, LeBron had skills that – LeBron was more athletic than Michael was, you know, and he worked at it. It would have been great to see him go at it, you know, at the same time.
Yep.
That's a shame we won't be able ever to see that. But
how about Justin Rose, 17 under?
Okay, so I told you guys, all right, Indy Jeff gave me all this. Who was I on? Jason Day was throwing clubs over here a half hour ago. How is he 18? 17 under?
17,
how old is he?
Yeah. Oh, he's got to be mid-40s. Got to be 44, 45.
He's getting better.
Yeah.
He almost won the Masters last year.
I know. Yeah. Crazy. I know, a hell of a player, and he's overlooked in all the markets. Like, it seems like every weekend we overlook Justin Rose.
When you're gambling this weekend, non-sports, what's your game?
I'm a craps degenerate.
Oh, you love craps.
In fact, they now have got the crapless craps, which is terrible because it's the 2 and the 12, and I throw 2s and 12s. And we did really well a couple months ago for the Browns game. When it came out for the Browns game, we had a great time. The craps. I went to tell Derek I already cashed. I was at the cage. Nobody knows that term, by the way, kids. That's an old school. It's the cashier.
Yeah.
I went to the cage. I put a hundy in, and I took a $400 ticket, video poker.
Oh, very
I love
nice.
This place.
Do you play the bubble poker? Or the bubble craps?
No. God, no.
Okay.
That's like playing the horses, Mitch. Wait, you want to play the horses on the video screen? Come on, guys. Come on.
I love the YouTube show when you curse.
Oh, well, I'm allowed to. It's so weird because then an hour later, I got to go on terrestrial radio and I can't do it.
I know, you're going for F-bombs. Yeah, absolutely.
And the kids, they love it when I drop an F-bomb or an S-bomb. They think it's hysterical.
It is.
It's childish, but yeah.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, official sponsor of tailgating. Spend $129, 2 pounds of fully cooked wings, plus 50% off site-wide. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN delivered right to your door. Tremendous selection. Look at the menu. Use what you want and what you fit. Minimum purchase required. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Spend $129, 2 pounds of wings, 50% off site-wide steaks and more. OmahaSteaks.com.
He's on X at The Real T Rizzo, ESPN Cleveland. Thanks, my man. That was awesome. Tonight's NBA card up next, and I will present a potential bad beat of the year in any sport.